Good evening. A rainy Thursday night for once. Looks like we're going to get a break from this heat. I'm Michael Cohen with producer James Plady. Thanks for joining us. Let's get right into it this evening. Well, Governor Snyder may be in Europe this week, but state business goes on with Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly at the helm in a week that has seen a court decision that could upend the state's emergency takeover procedures and a lot more. To talk about it all, the Lieutenant Governor joins me now. Brian, thank you for joining us this evening.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you.
So, with Governor Snyder out of the state, you are now serving as acting governor. Is that like Tom Cruise in Risky Business? You've got the house all to yourself, and it's time to party?
You know, it is so busy around here that it's every minute is filled with all kinds of action on a bunch of different things. But I'll say that even though the governor's on the other side of the globe at the moment, he's still heavily engaged in everything going on.
Now, I want to ask you about the Ingham County judge's ruling this week against the financial review team process and its secret meetings. That is the reason why the Flint EFM has now been kicked out. It seems like a simple and reasonable thing to do to have review teams hold public meetings before an EFM is chosen. Why is that not happening?
Well, it is happening now since the original court ruling. I will say, though, that the process followed before was a process that was outlined in statute. And so what the courts have determined is that the lower courts have determined that the process, even though not required by statute, should be subject to the Open Meetings Act. And that was something that we were happy to comply with. And so everything that has happened since that point has been done in open meeting. But obviously the judge felt the need to go back and undo some previous rulings. So I think that as this all gets sorted out, as we just carry the process forward, there's an order of things, and sometimes it takes a little time, but we'll get through it.
What's the solution then? Is an open meeting going to be held, and then the EFM, Mr. Brown, will be simply put back into place?
I don't want to predetermine what what all the steps will be. I know that some of the things that have been decided in lower courts, of course, are going to the next level of the Court of Appeals. It's the Ingham Court that has made a lot of decisions against the statutory policies that have been put in place in the state of Michigan. A lot of those tend to be overturned, and it's you know, the sort of thing where in some cases the decision is challenged, in other cases it's not. But in any event, the actions that happen under the emergency manager statute are being complied with now under the Open Meetings Act, and have been for some time since the original court ruling.
Now, I had Dan Gilmartin with the Michigan Municipal League on the program last night, and we, of course, talked about your visit to the Capitol Conference this week, and you said that the elimination of the personal property tax on businesses, at least a portion of it, will proceed now. Local governments are concerned about a replacement for this revenue, $400 million for this initial elimination. Is it safe to say that you and Governor Snyder will not be guaranteeing any kind of revenue replacement?
Well, keep in mind that, you know, when they came to the table, originally the proposal was to eliminate all personal property tax, and local government didn't really want it to change, and so had advocated to keep it the same. And so we have narrowed or tailored the policy down to dealing with just a little over one-third. So they got two-thirds of what they want. And, you know, the way the political process works out, to get two-thirds of what you want, that's, you know, it's a pretty big score in most situations. And then the other part of it that we really would like to phase out so that we can get jobs back in Michigan, because that's really the only reason to institute these sorts of policies that we're advocating for, is because, well, we need jobs. And if you get jobs, it's going to be better for local government all the way around. We're proposing to replace the revenue to local government in a way that's a little bit different, but I think just as secure. And that is the process that we're going through right now.
$400 million in revenue. Can you give me a hint as to how that's going to be replaced?
Yeah, we have a revenue source right now that is being used to pay out certified credits that were awarded by their previous administration. Now, as most people know, we revamped our tax credit or our tax system so that we're not doing any more new credits. What we're just giving a good deal to everybody instead of picking winners and losers. And then, so we're still honoring all these special deals that were put in place by the previous administration, but we're not issuing any new ones. So all that money that we're paying out credits with right now will be available to give the local government.
These local communities are seeing less revenue in general from the drop in home values and property tax revenue. We saw cut in revenue sharing programs. Other than the long-term vision of job creation, what is the state doing directly to help them right now, and is enough being done to do so?
Well, we have actually proposed increased in the budget that was just presented to the local government, an increase to in the what used to be known as the revenue sharing program, that we do expect that local governments will engage in innovative practices to consolidate services and partner with different organizations in order to lower their costs without diminishing the services that are available. That's the world we live in, and that those are the steps that have to be taken. And all that being said, it's I believe a 9% or 10% increase for local government in this year's budget that is being proposed. On top of that, though, even with this change in personal property tax, this is being done with an accommodation to local government to replace the vast majority of it. A lot of them, I think, won't see any change or any measurable change at all. So when you consider all these factors together, create an environment more conducive for job growth, I would say that's not a long-term proposition. If you remove the personal property tax disincentive to invest, I think that you're going to see very short-term improvements in the industrial base in Michigan, and that is one of the major hindrances to job growth and job creation in a state that hasn't seen private sector job growth in a long time. Till last year, 80,000 new private sector jobs in Michigan at a rate higher than the national average.
I'm talking to Michigan Lieutenant Governor Brian Calley. Now, Lieutenant Governor, Michigan scored an F in a recent report by the Center for Public Integrity, which analyzed our state's government transparency and accountability. Along with that, lobbying expenditures for 2011 totaled over $35 million. That is according to the Michigan Secretary of State's summations. That's up 86% from 2001. Isn't this altogether something that should concern state residents when it comes to the agenda that state lawmakers are now pursuing?
You know, when it comes, I think that the state legislature has been remarkably resilient in terms of bowing to special interests over the course of the last year and 3 months. I mean, the reforms that have moved through have been in the face of special interest groups. It's been pretty remarkable to see the process unfold as it has. And the amount that these type of reforms are usually impossible because of special interest groups. Instead, this group right now overcame them. So that's been, and you're starting to see the results. Now, all that being said, yeah, I think we've got a long way to go when it comes to transparency initiatives and making changes in statutes.
Why haven't you and Governor Snyder pushed for that kind of legislation to move forward?
Well, we're working on jobs as our top priority. And so when it comes to all the things that need to happen in state government right now, it is sometimes hard to know where are you going to start. We decided we're going to start with jobs, and we're going to stay relentlessly focused on jobs until this state is achieving at the levels that we have. And thankfully, that the folks that are charged with making decisions right now, at least a critical mass of them, are willing to look beyond the special interests and work on a jobs program that has resulted in the state going from worst in the nation unemployment to we're catching up with the national average right now. And I think that people are starting to really to see what's happening. It's why you see a recent poll out just yesterday or the day before that indicate there are more people in Michigan today think we're on the right track than the wrong track. We haven't seen those kind of numbers in a long, long time.
Although on the other side of it is a foreclosure crisis that continues and our local governments that are facing budget deficits again this year. So the question is, where is the line between being a business-friendly state and making sure that local communities don't end up with crumbling infrastructure and limited services?
Well, I would suggest that we need look no further than our past over the last 30 years. And you see that being an unfriendly place to provide a job means that we're an unfriendly place to get a job. And how has that served local government? All of these problems that right now that we're facing, these are not a result of the policy changes that have just recently been made. These are the result of yesterday's policies. And so a strategy that says, let's pursue, protect, and maintain yesterday's policies means let's pursue and protect the results of the last 10 years. And that's something that nobody could ever reasonably sign up with.
Michigan Lieutenant Governor Brian Calley, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Pleasure's all mine. Thank you.
And we'll be right back. But if you have any questions or comments, please send them along. Our email address is capitalcityrecap@gmail.com. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.